When it comes to the subject of the home and the family, I can humbly say to you tonight that I'm probably one of the greatest blessed people living today. In 1967, when my grandmother Dudney passed away, Pa and Ma Dudney had lived together 63 years. In 1970, when my grandmother Flat died, Pa and Ma Flat had lived together 63 years. In 1998, when Dad died, Mother and Dad had been together for 60 years. Judy has put up with me for 43 years. I've had a wonderful, supportive companion for 43 years. And I've been associated down through the years with literally hundreds of couples in the church who passed their 50th wedding anniversary, many of them their 60th. What a pleasure it has been to be associated with so many wonderful Christian couples. Judy and I married when we were 19. Before our 25th birthday, we had four children. All four of those children are Christians. Every in-law is a Christian. All six of our grandchildren are taken to church on a regular basis. The one who is old enough to be a Christian is already a Christian. Sometimes I sit down and tell Judy and think about how wonderfully blessed we are family-wise. And I humbly thank God for that. I mention that because tonight I'm talking about the family. And I want you to know how important it is to me. One of the college students suggested that a lesson was needed, maybe more than one lesson needed, in talking about things that would help them as they prepare for life, and a special mention was made of preparation for marriage. And I appreciate the opportunity tonight to address that subject. I do not know all the answers. In fact, I'm pretty sure I do not know all the questions. But I believe I can point us in the right direction to find the answers to the questions that need to be asked and need to be answered. You can look in the Penney's catalog or the Sears catalog, and you can find many things that you can purchase for the house. But you can't purchase a home. It's not listed. You can take the advertisement that comes from Home Depot or Lowe's, and you can turn from page to page and you can find one thing after another that can be purchased for the house. But nowhere on those pages can you purchase a home. You can go out to the home center and purchase an entire trailer where a family can live. Or to one of these companies like the ones that produce the log homes, and you can buy a kit, or the log houses. I even use the word home. The log houses, and you can buy a kit, and you can put a house together, a beautiful house, which may indirectly contribute to a successful home, but you cannot buy a home anywhere. You cannot inherit a home, though you may be able to inherit factors that will be involved and certainly take advantage of the example that is shown by parents and others. There is only one way that you can have a successful home, and that is with God's help. Prepare for it and perform in it. And there is no place that you can turn to find the description for a truly successful home and family except this book. Other books have been written by men and women that may make wonderful suggestions. And I certainly would suggest that these have their place and can be usable and can be helpful. But we need to get back to God's Word. I have a friend who does a lot of counseling, a lot of marriage counseling. And he has the policy that he will not counsel with anyone unless there is an open Bible on his desk. And he says to the people in the first place, we're going to use God's Word as our foundation in this study, and if you're not willing to let God's Word be the final answer, there's not much use of my working with you or trying to counsel you in any way whatsoever. I appreciate his attitude and his approach. Folks, we must get back to God's pattern for the family. And that, in a nutshell, is the advice that I would give to all young folks tonight as you are planning for a family. And I hope that most of you are planning to find a wife or to find a husband with God's blessings in the appropriate setting to bring children into this world and to rear those children in the right way. And that needs to be done based upon the teaching of God's Word. I want to give you a little formula tonight that I believe you can remember that might be helpful, and that is P plus P equals P. That won't work algebraically, but it will scripturally. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 5 and 6, in a very familiar passage, Jesus said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." The first P is suggested by the word leave. That's involved in preparation. The second P in the little formula I gave you is suggested by the word cleave. That's performance. And equal to P is suggested by the statement, let not man put asunder. That's permanence. And I don't believe you'll find a better formula than that. Not because I'm giving it to you, but because it's basically what's coming from the Word of God. Preparation plus performance equals permanence. And I have in mind when I discuss the word permanence more than just endurance. There are people who stay together and endure each other, whereas God intended for us to stay together and enjoy each other. And that permanent relationship needs to be a relationship that is peaceful. And built into that is the idea of joy, satisfaction, fulfillment. You go on with the list of words. Preparation plus performance equals permanence in the right sense of the word. In order to understand that better and to get down to some of the foundational ideas involved and the bare facts of the matter, I want to suggest five ideas tonight, four of which deal more with preparation, one that deals with performance. In a sense, that seems not to be balanced. But I'm convinced that what is done in preparation may very well make it possible for there to be the right kind of performance. And that maybe we do need to place more emphasis than we ever have before on preparation. I will give you these five ideas and suggestions, beginning with the little word be. Number one, be a Christian. Now, I don't mean by that call yourself a Christian. I don't mean by that have your name on some church roll or your picture in some directory. But I mean be a Christian in every sense of the word. There is nothing that can be done that will help people prepare for a happy relationship in marriage or any other relationship for that matter that is more important than this one. Be a Christian. That suggests that we need to become Christians. And God's Word would emphasize that we need to become Christians early in life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth is the advice of the wise man back in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes. 12:1. The older preacher Paul to the younger preacher Timothy said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." And then he mentioned word, conduct, love, faith, purity, spirit. Be thou an example in all of these areas as a young person. Certainly it is the case that each one of us ought to become a Christian as early in life as possible for the salvation of one's soul. When one has reached the age of accountability, as we define it, or at least designate it, until one becomes a Christian, there is a time there that one's soul is in jeopardy. And we are constantly encouraging our younger people, as soon as you understand what you need to do to be a child of God and your need of Jesus Christ as a Savior, become a Christian then. And certainly the main reason is for the salvation of the soul. But I'm suggesting tonight that every day that one lives as a Christian, as a young person, is helpful in preparation for marriage, in fact, in preparation for life. And as soon as you know the need of being a child of God, maybe as in the early teenage years, in some instances before that, whatever the age is, I'm not able to define that as a chronological age, but become a Christian and then live it day by day. Because you see, everything that you do that brings you closer to Christ in your marriage to Him as a part of His bride is going to necessarily help you to be better prepared to be a good husband or to be a good wife. Be a Christian. Number two, be ready. There are people who get married who are not ready to be married. And the sad thing about it is sometimes they don't realize that until they're already married. Be ready. You spend 4 years at Freed Hardeman to get a BA degree, in some cases 5 or 6. Another year or two for another degree. You spend time and time and time, year after year after year, to prepare for a career. Which is more important, a career or marriage? I think the answer is obvious. And yet it has been my experience, folks, in working with young people down through the years, to find some who honestly spend more time preparing for a wedding that's over in about 15 minutes than they do for a marriage that is, according to God's will, to last years. Be ready when you get married. I jokingly say that the young lady ought to at least be able to boil water without burning it. And the young man ought to at least have enough money ahead to take them out once to eat. Be ready. Young men, God's word says in your home you are to be the head. And that means leader, not boss. You don't get to be ready to be a leader in a family overnight. You are to nourish, that's physical help, and cherish, that's emotional help. Read Ephesians 5 and you'll see it. You don't get ready to nourish a wife and to cherish a wife in a few days. Prepare and be ready. And young ladies, God's word still teaches that you are to be responsible for many things in the family. Especially guide the house. If we were going to give a degree for that, that'd be a domestic engineer. Be a keeper at home. What that at least entails is being sure that you keep the home going in the right direction. Be ready to respect your husband as the leader of the family, as he respects you for his wife and as his wife. It's going to take some preparation for that. Be ready. Start early, be a Christian. grow as a Christian, and do whatever is necessary to be ready. When you walk down that aisle to say, I do, that you're really saying, I will. For however many years God will let us live together. And maybe we need to back up a little bit here and think and start teaching more to our little ones, even in the early grades, the things that they can understand about marriage and the home in helping to get them ready. We may not be doing what we need to do in preparation for family happiness. We start talking to our boys and girls when they're 3, 4, and 5 about what do you want to do when you grow up. And some of us would have a heart attack if one of them said, I want to have a happy home. We expect them to talk about the careers, where they're going to school. We've got to back up and start earlier and help us to be ready. Number 3. Young people, those of you who are not married, be selective. It is a shame for a young person to grow up in a Christian family, live a Christian life, keep oneself pure, and be ready, and then turn around and say, I do, to someone who does not hold those same values or hold to those same values. Someone who has not prepared and who is not ready for marriage. I don't hold this idea that there is one person out there that's your destiny and you've got to just find that one, and when you find that one, latch on to him. There might not be another. There are still many fish in the sea. And one thing that ought to be encouraging to you above most anything else is I found a wife. And I'm thankful that I found the one I did. But if for some reason I had not met Judy on her 18th birthday for the first time, I believe I could have found a Christian woman somewhere that would have helped me have a Christian home. Be selective. Be sure that the person that you're going to marry holds to the same basic ideas that you do. And I'm not hesitant to suggest to you marry a Christian. I believe God will join together one who's a Christian and one who's not. I believe that you can live a Christian life married to someone who's not a Christian, but it is so much more difficult. The unequally yoked together in 2 Corinthians 6 does not just apply to marriage, but it applies to that along with other things. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I want to go one step further here. Be selective even in marrying someone who goes to Fried Hardeman or someone who is a member of the church here. Fried Hardeman's been called a marriage factory. And there was the idea presented through the years, and maybe to some extent now, if you graduate from Fried Hardeman and you're not married, you failed. There are some who graduate from Fried Hardeman and are married who failed. If one who is a member of the church marries another one who's the member of the church, and one of them wants to go to every service and this one doesn't, one's interested in mission work and this one could care less, one wants to support the church liberally and the other one would rather not give anything, one wants their children to go to Bible study, the other one could care less, you've got problems in a family even if both of them claim to be Christians. Be selective. When you go to select an automobile you're going to drive for 6 to 8 years, you will look the situation over and try to get just what fits your needs. When we go to buy clothing, we want what fits. And that's the idea that was involved with marriage in the very beginning. God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and he said, I'll make a help meet. I'll make someone who fits. And if God knew that Eve needed to fit Adam, we need to understand today that we need to fit each other. Be selective. And let me put aside one idea here as we're passing this point. Young folks, you're not going to find somebody who's perfect. There are not many of us left. But you can find someone who, with the help of God and the forgiveness of God and Christ, can be complete. And that needs to be the goal that you have. Be a Christian. Be ready. Be selective. Number four, be committed. Be committed. If you are not sure that you are ready to commit yourself to a lifetime of service and love to that one person, back off a little bit and prepare a little more. Now remember, I just said you're not going to find somebody that's perfect. Don't wait for that. And don't set your goals so high that they're unreasonable. But be committed when you marry, and expect the one that you marry to be committed. In sickness, how sick? I've seen instances where a husband or a wife would forsake the other when that other one got very sick. In poverty, how poor? And on the other side, in riches, how rich? One of my classmates that graduated with me in 1960 at Freed Hardeman married. His wife later inherited a large sum and left him because she didn't need him anymore. Marry with commitment. It has been attributed to both Stonewall Jackson and U.S. Grant, the statement made during the Civil War, "We'll fight it out on this line if it takes all summer." I hesitate to use the word fight, although sometimes it may be appropriate. But when we enter into a relationship of marriage, we need to be ready to be committed on this line if it takes all our lives, and that's exactly how long it will take. Exactly how long it will take. Marry with commitment. I changed a word in the marriage ceremonies that I do several years ago. Doesn't change anything except I wanted to place emphasis on it. When I ask a question of the young man and the young woman being married, I ask it in such a way, instead of saying the proverbial "I do," they say "I will." There's a sense in which "I do" is point action and "I will" is continued action. And as I said, I'm just making this point for myself. I think we mean the same thing with both of them. But I want each young person to know, when I make this commitment, I'm saying "I will." Sometimes people come to me and say, "I don't love him anymore." Don't ever say that to me, please. If you're married, you don't have the right not to love him anymore. Not like him, that's okay. And I'll guarantee you there'll be times when you won't like him. And you won't like her. But that's a part of that commitment, in good times and bad. Commit to be married to each other as long as you live. Let no man put asunder. That's God's word. God hates putting asunder. Now, he realized there would be some circumstances beyond one's control, and Jesus gave an exception even in this passage from whence we took our text. But it is God's will that there be no putting asunder until he by death parts the two. That's the permanence involved. Be committed. And if you're not ready to be committed when you sign your name on that license, and you say "I do" or "I will" in that ceremony, you're going to have problems. Be a Christian. Be ready. Be selective. And be committed. Preparation. And now, performance. Be dedicated to doing what you promised. A vow that is taken should be carried out. Ecclesiastes tells us, God hates one who makes a vow and won't keep it. And if there's anywhere that ought to apply, it ought to be in the marriage relationship. When you and I stand up and make our vows to each other, whatever words are used, however short or how long they may be, we need to do that in a way that for whatever years are ahead, however many years God blesses us in that relationship, that we are going to be dedicated to performing that commitment as long as we live. That means putting the other person first. The husband is to try to please the wife. The wife is to try to please the husband. 1 Corinthians 7 is one passage that points that out, even dealing with the physical relationships. There is to be mutual love. The husband can love the wife, who in turn loves him. If there's love in both directions, it's not difficult. And there should be love in both directions. And there should be dedication to the principle that we're going to respect each other. We're going to work together, and with God's help, we're going to work out whatever comes. Take whatever time is necessary to work it out, to be dedicated to the principle that God wants it to be a permanent relationship. One man said, my wife and I never go to bed mad at each other. Sometimes we stay up all night. Well, if it takes staying up all night to deal with the situation, two Christian people with God's help ought to be able to deal with any situation, and even if there is some disagreement, to put it in proper focus and to live together, realizing that when two are married, they become one. And that oneness is to be there the rest of their lives. This is a simple lesson, but I believe it hits the nail on the head. Preparation plus performance equals permanence. Be a Christian, be ready, be selective, be committed, and be dedicated to that commitment. And that's where all of those of us that are already married need to tune in, if we've not already, and be dedicated to that commitment as long as we shall live. There is no problem but that two Christians with the help of God can solve. I believe that. There is no problem but that two Christians with the help of God and His Word can solve. That's the dedication that we need. May God bless all of you young folks that are not married yet as you prepare. And may He bless all of those of us that are married as we perform, that we may be able to have relationships that are permanent and enjoy what God wants us to enjoy. I really believe that a good marriage and a good home can be a taste of heaven on earth, and that's the kind of families that God wants us to have. May God bless us to have. First point I made tonight was be a Christian. Really, that was saying you need to be married to Christ. Perhaps all of this can be summed up in the statement that if you're married to Christ, you're going to be able to have a successful marriage. I mean really married to Christ, not just in name, not just in word, but in deed. That means being a Christian. That means becoming a Christian. If you haven't, the greatest thing that you can do tonight, in preparation for a home or in the home that you already have established, is be a Christian. If you're not a faithful Christian, come as together we stand and sing.